Blog Talk Radio.
Kingdom Church of the Firstborn. We are excited about what the Spirit of the Lord is doing and saying in these last days, and his call to the body of Christ is to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church, and to listen very carefully to what he's saying for you. We thank you, those of you that are listening, if you're not listening live, that you will hear us sometime by going into our archives and pulling up our messages. But I thank the Lord for the Spirit of the Lord that is traveling throughout the earth now in a very special way. I don't know whether you believe it or not, but the Lord is on his throne, but he's in a move. He's moving across the land. He's moving in our lives. He's moving us to a different place, a higher place, a different place, and I thank God for that. Unfortunately, so many, and I'm one, who don't like change. We like to be able to know what's happening, and we've learned what's happening, and so now that we've learned it, we know what to expect, and so don't surprise me with anything else. And unfortunately, that is not the Christian life. The Christian life is Christ our Savior, is never at one place doing the same thing. He's moving because he was called to bring mankind back to the Father. And so he's moving through the earth to do that. And I welcome you tonight to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, to listen carefully to what he's saying to you, because you're the one that he's speaking directly to. We thank God for this opportunity to talk to many across the miles. It is a different life now. I believe what we have been experiencing in the past, the Lord is calling us to stand still, set yourself, and see the salvation of the Lord. So we welcome you tonight to this Universal Kingdom Church. We thank Dr. Derek for opening the airwaves. He tells us that, behold your God, the God that we serve, he's in our midst, and said, behold your God, let God arise, let his enemy be scattered. And then he says, he will speak peace to his people. So let's open tonight with Prophet Dean Mitchum singing A New Church Arising. If you wonder why we play it over and over again, it's a prophetic song. It's speaking it into the atmosphere that there's a new church arising. It's arising in you. It's arising in me. But not only is it arising in you and me, but we are calling it forth to arise in the earth. So let's let Dean bring us into our new position with Christ tonight to hear there's a new church arising.
Hallelujah. Come on, God is raising up a new church. Are you a part of that church? The saints movement. Come on, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. The Lord is raising up a brand new breed who will walk and talk like Abraham. Walk in demonstration of our God's might. There's a new church rising that the world has never seen. Come on, can you hear it? Oh, we're shaking off the bonds of this world. We're raising our voice till every ear has heard. We'll prophesy and work miracles too. It's arising in me, so let it rise in you. There's a new church arising that the world has never seen. Oh, come on now, sing it with me. There's a new church rising. There's a new church rising.
Grateful for Prophet Dean and the new church is arising. It's arising in you and it's arising in me. We're still studying the book of Matthew, walking through the book of Matthew, and probably I should change that word, studying, because we've studied it and we are studying it, yes. But there is something else that we're here wanting so much for you to hear. Where, as we go through, it's not just to study it, but to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying for the church and to the church, and then most importantly, to listen very carefully to what he's saying to you, for to do with what he's saying to the church, because we are the new church that's arising, and if we're the new church that's arising, what he is saying for the church, it must first enter into us so that we can do it. We're at a very critical time. I say that over and over again, because at the present, we have learned all so many things, and we've learned enough to keep us teaching and preaching and praying and talking about what we've learned for the rest of our lives. But that's not what God is calling us to do now. Being a learned church, and I say a learned church because there's been much teaching. When the Fivefold Ministries was birthed into the earth, we had the prophets and the apostles and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers all coming forth, establishing then the truth of the body of Christ, and it was a wonderful truth because, first of all, we had the prophets come to tell us which way God was going, where he was, what he's doing, what he's saying to his church. That's what the church prophet was to do. Then the personal prophets began to prophesy to us personally to tell us how to enter in. And then, of course, the apostles, hearing what the prophets said for the church, began to establish those truths in the earth. And then, of course, the evangelists called to go out and bring the souls in. And then, of course, the pastors called to nurture those souls and to teach those souls. And they all had a part in every one of the ministries. As a matter of fact, the prophet had a teaching part. The apostles had a teaching part, still has, and the evangelist has a teaching part. And the pastors have more of a teaching part. And so we have that very well established in the church. We've learned that we all can prophesy. We have the Holy Ghost. There needs to be some training in the prophetic and so that we'll know how to carry this wonderful gift from heaven. There needs to be some very special training in the apostolic so that we'll know how to establish God's truth in the earth. There needs to be some very special training because in all professions we must be trained, and most people think in the ministry is only the Holy Ghost that does the training, but he apprehends people to do the training. So that's the church. Now there's another really serious call in the earth, and that call is for us to enter in to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying so that we can then be the church. One of our members said the other night, and it was just such a great revelation for her and for me and for all of us, that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to her and said, come in closer. No, she said, come in a little closer. And I thought about that. Of course, we be in a body, we can kind of laugh together sometimes, but we know truth when we hear it, and we can think of the fact that if you are a mile away from God, and he said, come a little closer, then you just kind of inch in a little closer, but you're a long ways off. And then let's say that you're a block away, and he said, come a little closer, then how long is it going to take you to get closer? So we said to her, just take the little out and just come closer. And so I think that's what the Lord is saying to all of us. He's saying, come closer, because I want you to hear what I am saying. If someone comes to you and says, I want to tell you something to do, but you have to hear it. So now come in closer so you can hear careful, because I want you to be very careful to do it. I think that's what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. And as we got into the book of Matthew, I could see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. We went through, as the Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn, we went through the book of Hebrews. We are going to go back because it's not about studying the books anymore. It's not about reading them. If you hear a scripture, you probably said it 100 times. You probably read it many times. Many of you probably have preached on it many times. That's not our call now. The call is to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Then you listen what to do with it. And if you look into the scriptures, and by the way, I was thinking tonight, you need to fall in love with the Word of God. You need not to take the Word of God as something you're going to throw up in the air and hope someone else catches it. We need to fall in love with the Word of God. That it's almost like the Word of God should be something like I don't like candy, but say if you love candy, someone give you a piece of candy and you eat it and you taste it and it's so good, and you don't just throw it up and hope someone catches it. You want it for yourself and you want to taste it. And that's what the Word of God is for us at this time. We looked at the book of Matthew and we saw Jesus as though he had touched down in the earth. He became boots on the ground. He was looking us in the face, looking me in the face, and say, I don't need you to just hear this word. I need you to hear what to do with this word. And that's why we have gotten through Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6. And then he said, go back now and see what I said to you for you to do. And if everyone listening would go check a chapter, you will find that what he's saying to you to do may be different from what he's saying to me, or it may be the same thing. There is so many truths for us to reach out and grab, to live, not just to hear, but to live. So in the past few times we've been together, I went back and we looked at chapter 4. For me, I looked at the fact, and I think it was a good place to look. Well, I started with chapter 3 from John the Baptist, when he said, first, bring forth meat that's fruit for repentance. Then he said, it is time to put an axe to the root of the tree. And then he said that he wasn't worthy to someone was coming, Jesus was coming, and he wasn't worthy to fix his shoe latches. But he wanted to let you know that he was going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire, and then he was going to gather in the garner all that the wheat in the garner and burn up the chaff. So what is he saying to me? And I need you to know that when you want to read the word and live the word, you do not read the word with your natural mind. How you're going to do is let the Spirit of the Lord, let the word enter into your spirit. I always teach my students this. You read a verse or two or three, then you think on it. You let your mind think on that verse. What is it saying to you? Bring forth meat. Fruit, well, it may mean different things to different people. You say, put an axe to the root of the tree. So I stop, I think on that. What does he mean by putting an axe to the root of the tree if this is for me? If he's saying, listen, I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. Then I pray, Lord, what do you mean, put an axe to the root of the tree? And then he began to show me personally the tree that's standing tall. There's a root in it that self still wants to have life. Because when you think of a tree, it has life as long as it's buried in the soil. So that tree must die. It must, the very root of it must die for the tree to die. And the Lord calls us to death and resurrection. He calls us to death of the old self so the new man can come alive. And so explaining that to me, the word then became my word. He needs to put an axe to the root of the tree. Since I don't know what the root is, then I prayed, Lord, let the Holy Spirit go to the very root of where I am still standing tall on the inside, where I'm still alive, where self is still on the throne. Put an axe there. And I began to pray there and wait there until he began to show me, and I may be weeks down the road, or after I pray that, it may not come immediately, but what it is that self is still in control of. And believe me, all of us got a lot of self still on the throne. And then the next thing we saw in chapter 3 at the very end, when he said he will gather the wheat into the garner, and then, no, the Holy Ghost and fire will come. He'll gather the wheat in the garner, and then he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so you begin to pray that this word then is not something I'm learning what it means. My natural mind, my educated mind, my good mind will read the words. But then as I go back and read it again, I go back and pray it, then the Lord began to show me what was he speaking to me. And so as I got all the way through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, the Lord's calling me. He said, now you go back and see what I'm saying to you. And I want to say to you that are listening, I want you to hear some of the things that maybe what he said to me is not what he said to you. But just to give you an example, I got into 5, and of course there are all of those beautiful attitudes, and then he began to tell you how you're blessed if you do this, and certainly I can't do any of that. I can't bless the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I don't know what pure in heart is. I believe my heart is pure. But then he began to remind me that almost every chapter that I got to, I had written several books, and the book would kind of open up a little more what the scripture was saying. When I got to chapter 4 when he began to talk, chapter 4 is such a powerful chapter, but I just wanted to know, what is he saying to me? And this is when he said to his disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I believe the Lord said that to me. I believe he will say to you, follow him. Now, if you think of the word following, as I go back and think on it, since this standing in my face, looking at me, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, I began to look up the word follow, and I began to see that there are many ways we can follow. Remember when Peter, because he was following from afar off, this is when he was by the fire warming, and he began to deny Jesus. So follow me means follow closely. And I began to talk to the Lord about, show me where I'm not following. And if you examine yourself and some of the things that you do, we all do so many things in our own way and in our own strength. And because we do it in our own way and in our own strength, we're not following the ways of the Lord. So that's what I mean by, as we read this word, now the call is not to follow, not to come in a little closer, but to come in closer. Taking the little away and coming in closer means this, that whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. If I'm following afar off and I just want to come in a little closer, that means that I inch along a little bit, and as I inch along a little bit, if you tell me to do something, I'm not quite ready to do it yet, so I'm just going to come a little bit closer. No, take the little out and come all the way in. When you come in, then he'll say, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. That means I'm right on your heels. I'm coming right where you go. I am right there. And that means then, as you follow him, he began to show you how to become fishers of men. And so with that, I got that truth out of 4. There are other things in 4. Because you see him coming in healing, and you see him healing all types of diseases, and it's a fact now. This is a fact that this is who Jesus is. So, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to handle this as a truth for me? And I'll tell you, I've been really dealing with that because several things came to light. There is so little healing in the church, and that's not a judgment against anyone. I think the Lord is just calling, said, I want you to know that I am still a healer, and I don't want you to just know that I'm a healer and kind of hope I heal. I want you to come in close and allow me to talk to you about healing. I want to see that, yes, I did heal all manner of diseases and torments, but I can't learn that afar off. I've got to come in closer. And so what I did with that, I don't know what you're going to do, but I made a commitment to the Lord that I want to know what you know, Lord, to bring healing back to the church. I've been doing a lot of talking to God about it. I've talked to others about it. Someone suggested something that I guess I began to see it, that in the church sometime in our Christian life, that we are afraid to tell people that we're sick, that something is wrong with our body until we come to a very desperate situation, because the enemy has put a lie in the church that if there's something wrong with you, you're not saved good, or there's a reason why you're sick. And so people are afraid to say that they're sick. And then these are things I'm learning as I look at this last part of chapter 4, when the healing, when Jesus began his healing ministry, he was saying healing is for the church, and we began to accept our sickness and our diseases without even thinking that it's going to change. Now, it doesn't mean he will heal everyone, but he said, come closer, not a little closer, so you can talk to me about healing. And just as I said, almost every place I get to, when the Lord put me, caused me to put my feet in that place, I've already written a book. And, you know, I still tell you about how people laugh when I said I wrote a book. And he said, every book I wrote is going to bring the church in. And it's almost like if you come in and look in that book, it's coming in closer. So I've written several books, but one of the chief books I've written, and I didn't even see it myself until I really began to study it, we have two rooms in the house. One is called Bethesda, the Come to the Healing Stream of Bethesda, which is our physical healing. And then we have another one, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our Healer, and I began to read that book for myself and began to look at one of the major things about it was not only did it talk about Jesus as a healer and his healing ministry, but it gave a whole section on the concepts of healing so that it's not just some amphibious thought in your mind, but it really bring it to the point to know what healing is all about, why. Even talk in that book about the chemistry of the blood, talking to the blessings of communion. It was so much in there. So what I did for coming to that part of Matthew, when I got there, I was going to skip over it. And the Lord said, many come to the church and nobody preaches on healing. Nobody talk about healing. And if they come up and ask for prayer, because he said, if I had not and do not get into a place with him that he can be the one to heal in our midst, then we will just pray some perfunctory prayer that we won't even believe ourselves, and the person walk away with the same illness. And so I think it's as I get to each one of these, and I hope that you're walking it out with me, we lay down, we take off our, we have a song Dean mentioned, saying that we played in our house in the sanctuary of the firstborn, and I got to go back and remember it because maybe I'll put the clip on. We're going to take off our dignified robe, and we're going to really begin to get down to the place where Jesus got down to and do the healing. And that's my desire, is to take off the dignified robe, lay aside all the knowledges we have. I remember talking to someone very recently and saying what you, the person was saying they had not heard from God. They've been asking God for something. They're very prophetic. They've been asking God for something, and he hadn't spoken. I said, because I found out when God doesn't speak, I'm asking, but I'm expecting the answer to come because I know how he moves. And he might have a entirely different way to answer me. Maybe there's a change that has to come in me, that maybe there's some things that need to be worked through me, and I don't know that I need to hear it, and so because I don't know I need to hear it, that means then that he won't answer. He's answering, but not the way that I can hear. So that's why this word, I want you to fall in love with the word of God, not as a knowledge, but to make the word so much your word. And that's why I love the scriptures on tape. I don't know whether you know this or not, but many of you may have this, but we have the scriptures playing 24/7 in the sanctuary of the firstborn in several parts of the house. We just hear the word. And as you begin to hear the word, then the word then becomes alive inside of you. But then when you begin to live the word, you can hear the word and you can read the word, but it's living the word that makes it real. Living the word means what he says. Come on in closer now, not a little closer. When I came in closer, I can't step away from healing now. I don't tell you that I've heard everything the Lord wants to tell. Sure, I know the scriptures. He was wounded for our transgression. Chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. I can quote all that. I know all that. I can go to all the scriptures in the Bible. But when he says, come in closer now, now he wants to tell me what he wants me to know about healing. When I look at that chapter, in chapter 4, when he came into the earth and he began to heal. And so everything will come alive that you put your foot on, you see. That's what he said to Joshua. Wherever the sole of your foot touches, that's what I'm going to give you. Then we got to chapter 5. It was so much in chapter 5, and I really wanted to skip over the Beatitudes, like I say. I don't know what it is. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And when you get into chapter 5 of Matthew, everything the Lord says in this chapter is impossible to live. So it's so easy to skip over it and go to something that you want to hear or that's familiar. You are the light of the world. And so what you really need to do with chapter 5 is to just to pray through that was given there, and ask God to make it real for you, to open it up for you, and to tell you what you're to do with it. And because as he talks to the Beatitudes, he's bringing you the way to live. It's a way that you don't know how to live and you can't live it, but you can pray that. And then he gives us a teaching on murder and anger, which is something that we can hold our anger and think is okay. We can, we have these teachings on anger management. What is anger management? How do you manage anger? And then there's one on road rage and all these things. And so the Lord comes on the scene, and he's telling us that just because you don't know, you're not angry and fight and fuss and do all those things, but he wants a heart to change. Almost everything in there, he wanted the heart to change. Then he taught on divorces, and when I got there, I said, okay, well, what do we do with this? We have divorces in the church. I've been divorced. And so what do we do with it? And you begin to pray and ask him, what are you doing? He'll tell each of us something different. He'll tell us his heart on it, and then he may even bring us to a place of repentance where we didn't think we needed it. And so there was a teaching on forgiveness, and I almost missed that because he didn't say, you have been heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn the left cheek, and if a man will sue you. And so he goes on to say that, and I skipped over it. I didn't skip over it. I read it. I heard him. But when he got over to chapter 6, I had to stop there. But before I get to there, because I did a deeper lesson on forgiveness. Now, let me say it again. As he spoke to our member that said, come in closer, she put the little in there. I'm sure she did, but maybe she didn't. Maybe that's the way she heard it. You know, we hear sometimes what we want to hear. But Jesus is saying to us, the Spirit of the Lord is saying, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And he's giving the church these lessons of how to live. This is what he wants to see in his church. This is the way his church is supposed to be on earth as it is in heaven. Then he said, now you come closer and let me tell you what I want you to know. And that's when these lessons then that he's giving comes alive. When he talks about in Matthew 5, teaching on loving one's enemies. And how can you love one's enemies in the natural? So you have to pray through those verses. Then you have to ask the Lord, if you don't quite understand it, some of them are so clear, you may have to pray that he will just give you the heart or come into your heart and do this for you. What is he saying to you? He's saying you must love your enemies. And so since you are not following afar off like Peter or coming a little close at the time like my member, you're going to come there. He's boots on the ground. He's in your face, and he's teaching you love your enemies. And so you begin to pray. You say, well, Lord, I do love them. Why don't you pray and ask the Lord to give you his heart and to show you where your heart isn't true for your enemies? Because we really don't know where our heart is. I sometimes refer to my autobiography, and I have a you know, it's been out for a while, a small portion of my life. But one of the things that I dealt with in my autobiography was how the Lord taught me to love and the process he took me through when I didn't even know I didn't love people. And he began to show me why I didn't love, and certainly people of a different race. And he began to show me how my heart was, and by the I never would have known that, because it was a way of life for me to have this heart that I thought was clear, because I wasn't angry with them. I just didn't want anything to do with them. And so that's why the Lord is calling us into a close place with him, not a little closer, but close. Take the little away, because a little could be 1 inch at a time. But when you come in closer and he's boots on the ground, then you'll pray for him to show you how to love your enemies, but not just show you how, and then take that how away. So many people say, Lord, show me how to forgive. No, ask him to give you his forgiveness. You see, that's you. When you say how, that gives time for him to teach you. No, just say you're ready for it, and just be ready for it, you see. I often hear people when they're in their prayer, after God has given them something, say, Lord, I want you to help me to know how to do this. No, he wants to do it in you. He wants to do it through you. He wants to do it for you. But you have to come in close to him and let him know that you are, he said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So I'm right here with you, Lord. I can't do that. I can't love my enemies. First, you got to give me your love. But then you have to show me the enemy that you want me to love, because I know that enemy may be right in my home. That enemy may be someone that I know is doing this to me, and I still got this ought against them, and they're very close. But, Lord, show me the person that you're telling me to love that I don't know how to love. I just, there was a very special call that I had, and the Lord has spoken to me to pray for this person. And this person had done some very difficult things to overcome. And I wanted to kind of give reasons why I shouldn't pray. And it just didn't make sense to God at all and me either what I was trying to say, because God's word was, I need you to pray for that one. I need you to pray for that one just as though you're praying it for yourself. And so when it comes there and you see that person that's your enemy, or that you mistreated you or misunderstood you, oh, now God is calling us to come closer now, because the one thing you need to know, not only will he tell you how to do this, but he will do it in you and through you and for you. And I think the come closer means that you will stop asking him to show you how or to help you to do it. What you are saying, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. And if you can't do it, tell him to do it in you and for you. Because if you're ready for it, he will do it in you and for you. And because most people want to have some time to deal with it and come a little bit at a time into it, it's easier to know that you're going to be obedient, but you in your heart, you know you're not ready yet. You know, they say delayed obedience is the same as disobedience. And so the Lord is calling us closer. Okay, just take the little way, not a little closer, but calling us closer, and he's calling us to follow me now. This is a whole new place God is calling all of us to. And so what I was wanted to go back, and he said, go back and review what each person needs to try to find what I'm saying to them. I'm just sharing with you some of the things he said to me, but he wants to say something to you, maybe some of these same things, because you can't, what I was seeing as he called me back, I could not just keep moving. I want so much to get to chapter 7, because he gave me chapter 7 to live so many years ago, but I can't just get there until I have exhausted all of the things that he told me to do, and now I don't need to go back and review them. Now, when I exhausted, what I mean is this. I faced it. I looked into it. Did I finish it? No. But because I stayed there with the Lord until he knew and I knew that I wanted that, I wanted that to be taken care of, then as I moved on, there are little things that will come up from the things that I've been through, but it's a matter of, okay, I've got to do that too. And so that's why we're reviewing what we've done in the book of Matthew. It's not studying it now. It's living whatever God has given you to live there. And if you do that, you will find that God, when you, as you move through the book of Matthew and any other Bible book, it will be so easy for God to speak to you to show you what he's saying. And then we got to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, it was so many lessons there that needed to be explained. And I needed to touch the throne of God. I needed to touch the hem of his garment with each one. It wasn't that I wasn't doing them, but he's calling me to a new place, just like he's calling you to a new place, and he's calling you to give attention to it. The first one he talked about was a teaching on giving, and there was a deep lesson in there that we do not give with a, we must give with a pure heart and with a motive that does not take away from our heart giving it to him. And so he said it's not about if you're going to be giving, then you don't want your right hand to know what your left hand is doing. You're not trying to make a position. You're not giving it for a purpose other than the fact that God wants you to give it from your heart. And then he began to teach on prayer. And that's what he taught us, the prayer, that when you pray, and this is so key, I think we need to get this, that when you pray, you will not be praying for people to hear. When you pray in your prayer closet for God, you will be able to pray the prayer outside that others will not know that you're trying to pray for them to hear, but the Lord will hear. And so that's a lesson for us. So many people pray the same prayer. They pray words they've heard. They say they pray words that make it sound like it's a great prayer. And then, of course, they pray just words asking God for things that he's already given. You know, it's amazing. I had someone to write me a few weeks ago, and they asked me a question. Oh, they said, would you pray about this? And so, and you want to be careful what you ask, how you ask for prayer, because it may be something God has already told you to do. I remember writing back to the person and saying, I don't need to pray about this. I need you to know what you're asking, because in the first place, it's very clear need that you have. But if I pray for it, it will come to you automatically without you knowing what to do with it. So I began to outline what the person needed to know. And, of course, they said, well, I think I'm okay with it now. So you see, God isn't going to do everything for you that he's already done, that he's already gotten out ladders, are things that you need to know for yourself, or things that you haven't done for yourself, or you just want God to do it for you. Lord, I want you to help me to quit smoking. Well, you're going to have to quit. You know, God isn't going to take the cigarette out of your hand, but he will help you to quit. God, I want you to help me to do to say my prayer tonight. Well, that's wonderful. But what about getting into a place where you stop and try to pray them, you see? And so I see in Matthew that he's calling us to action from the heart, that he wants us to have the heart of God. And how is, because remember, Jesus' purpose was to bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And he said when he hit the earth, John said it first, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent. What he meant, repent of all the yesterdays and the things that you've done at this time, and turn around and let's go this way now, because there's a whole new way of living. I believe he's saying it to the church. I believe that everything that we've learned was very good, but I believe he wants us now to enter into it. Chapter 7, there was a great teaching on fasting, and I think you've noticed, if you've been with me, that every time I get to one of his teachings, I've written a book about it. I didn't even go to Matthew when I was writing those books. I wasn't even dealing with this as I am now. God just had me over the years to keep writing what he gave me, and I'm seeing now that what he gave me was to help people to live out what he brought down to the earth. He kept saying to me when I got discouraged about writing so many books and people saying, I can't read your books, he said, keep writing because your books will bring the church in to me. And so I can see these books would bring people in closer, because one of the things that I wrote in one of the books that I wrote was on fasting, the difference between religious fasting and the minister fasting, and that there's a minister fasting and how to carry it out. I remember writing in the back of my Holy Ghost and Fire book an epilogue about fasting and how to fast, how to do the normal fast and how to do the different fasting. And so he was trying to make it easy for us to do. And then there was another teaching on the tread. And, you know, I stayed away from that part, especially the part I didn't mind doing the tread, left the tread zone, and not, I mean, in heaven and not in the earth. But I got, and it really talked about finances, and it talked about the spirit of mammon, and that you can't have two masters. And so he wanted us to look at the things that we were looking to and how we looked on money. And, of course, I know I've said it before. I wrote the book on from financial insolvency to financial abundance, and there's so much in that book. Every chapter just opened up a brand-new way for us to see the hand of God on finances, you see. And then we got to the one on teaching on worry. And when he said, give no thought for tomorrow, for the tomorrow will give thought for itself, you know. And it talked about, and you know, it was could be a very difficult chapter unless you're ready to enter into it, you see. When you look at the fact when he said, give no thought to what you shall eat or what you shall wear, then he gives an example about Solomon and all of his glory. And then he comes down to say, you can't even make one, you can't even grow yourself, you see. After all these things, the Gentiles seek, but after these things, I want you to seek the kingdom of heaven. And right there, it's a whole new place then. It's a whole place of letting go and letting God. And you have to follow him, because that's what he's saying. I'm coming for to release the kingdom of heaven on earth. Repent, for the kingdom has come. And in order to follow me, you can't have any worry about what you eat or what you're going to wear. I remember probably at university. I taught at university for years, and I taught a very good class on business communication. And I would always ask my students, I said, how many of you worry, you know? Do you worry about things? And, of course, every hand would go up in the class. And so I would say, well, I got this classic explanation for you of how not to worry. And, of course, they would sit up in their seats and they would think, I've got this great, this great revelation of to keep them from worrying. And it was a great revelation. Here's what I said, I'll say to anyone else. I said, first of all, if you want to do it in the natural, without Jesus told us here how to do it in the spirit. If you want to do it in the natural, here's what you do. Set aside a time, because, you know, students and all of us probably have a calendar of what we do this time, this time, and this time. You have to when you have a lot of things to do. So you say from 9 to 10, I have to be here. From 11 to 12, I have to be here. I said, why don't you do this? In your calendar, put an hour in to worry. Just put one full hour in to worry. And what you do is find you a nice, quiet resting place. Now, remember, this is not Christian where I can say, go to your prayer closet and tell God about it. I'm in a secular classroom, and I'm telling my prospective business people how not to worry. I said, now, when you find this place, you set it up for go there every night or whenever you can find, when you want to put it on your calendar. And I said, you might even find you a nice, comfortable chair, like a rocking chair. And I said, then put an hour in. And what you do is during that hour, you just worry. Just worry about everything you can worry about. Just worry. Don't just worry. Just worry. And when that hour is up, if you've given yourself an hour, you make a note to yourself that I'm leaving this worry spot and I'm not going to worry anymore about that until tomorrow night at this time. And I said, now, keep coming back to the same place and keep on worrying. And then I said, after a while you're in that spot, you will begin to think about what can you do about what you're worrying about. And instead of worrying, maybe you'll start making some plans or getting a deeper understanding of how not to worry. And I said, then pretty soon, you're going to make a decision. I'm not going to worry about that anymore. And then if it comes back to you and you get up and you start not in that place, you'll say, no, I'm not going to worry about you. I'm not going to worry anymore. Or I'll go back then and sit and worry. Well, that was a simple way, you think. But in the Christian life, you can do the same thing with Jesus. Find your place where, here's what Jesus said, and here's the scripture. He said, give no thought for tomorrow, what you shall eat or what you shall wear. And so you can read that, and you can say, Lord, first of all, I want you to forgive me for letting my mind worry about all these things that I can't do anything about. So, Lord, I want to, as I come to this place at this time, like I was telling my students, the worry. No, I'm not coming here to worry. I'm coming to lay this out before you, and I'm coming to tell you my concerns, and I'm pouring out my heart to you. Now I want you to come and tell me what to do. I need you to let me know what you want me to know about this. If there's something I'm supposed to do, let me know. If I'm just let you handle it, let me do it. Because, you see, so often we want to tell God to fix everything. But I've always said this, the answer to every prayer is in us. And the reason it's in us, if God is going to answer, it very well may be that he has to give us the answer. And in giving us the answer, it may call us to do something or it may work something out of us so the answer can come. And so prayer then would be what we need when it comes there. He says in chapter at the end of that chapter, because it's such a great chapter on how not to worry, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Now, you can teach that, and you can talk about it. The last verse says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for itself. Because our minds are so cluttered with so much of what's going on. It's so much of what people want, people need, what we're trying to do to help people, what we're trying to do to make it. Just give no thought to it. Spend that time with the Lord and let him come in and restore, regulate, change your mind so that in the thoughts that come in, you and God have worked out. You may have to go back, like I told my students, for weeks to that same spot and let him deal with that. But why don't you deal with it and let it come to the surface rather than let it be brewing on the inside of you where you're continuing to work? I think everything that Jesus brought to us, he said, the kingdom of heaven has come, repent. When he's coming to bring the heaven on earth as it is in heaven, so he's calling us to live this way. He wants us to live this word, not just to know this word. And you can't live it, and that's why he had me to go back, because if we move on, we've learned all that he told us, but what have we lived? And so even with this word about not worrying, I came closer to an end with something this week than I had been in a while. I came, brought something else in that I did not know how to handle. God and I are talking about it, and by making a decision that I'm talking to him, I want him to help me not to be give thought to that, because and so he is taking away some of the thoughts I had about it, the plans that I had about it, the things I wanted to do. And so what he will do for us, it is the greatest ministry of healing, inner healing that we have. It's the greatest ministry of deliverance. You know, we have all these ministries of healing and deliverance in the church, but you know what you need to know? It's nothing but sin attached to it. It's nothing but self-deciding, I am so wounded, I am so hurt, I don't want anyone to hurt my feelings because myself will be wounded. And then we tip around in the church trying to avoid hurting people's feelings because they come, they are so wounded on the inside. Now, I love to minister healing because that is my call, inner healing and deliverance. But when you have ministered healing for 5 years to the same person or 10 years and they're still carrying the wound, what has happened is they have chosen to stubbornly refuse to be healed, and they want to hold you hostage that you not correct them or tell them when they're wrong because you hurt my feelings. I don't want to go back there again because she hurt my feelings. Well, Pastor Gil, you said, take your feelings and put them in your pocket. No, I said, take them and put them on the altar of the Lord. Put your heart there and see the sin there. The sin is that you have not listened to the word of the Lord. The Lord says, I came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Most of our wounds come from childhood. Most of it comes from an unloving, unholy, uncaring world. Most of it comes from someone who raped our hearts as little children, and now we're still holding the whole world hostage and any other leader hostage because you want to keep that. I want my heart to be open for the Spirit of the Lord to minister his love into my heart so that I can minister that love to someone else. And so I think this is such a great book to help us to become whole, not just to help us to become Christians. We need to become whole, not just to help us to be healed, but wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? You can be healed and still not be whole. You can be saved and still not be whole. You can be delivered of a demon and still not be whole, because when you are whole, you will wholly follow the Lord. And wholly follow the Lord means that you will do what the Lord says, and wholly following the Lord means that you will follow me and I'll make you fishes of men. You're following so closely that the diablo can't come between you. And so as he reaches out and draws man to him, you're right there to be there to do with man and with someone what he wants done. Pastors should definitely follow so closely that whatever the Lord does, that's what he's doing. Prophets should follow so closely that they can hear his very heartbeat. Apostles should follow so closely that whatever he says and do, and whatever he does, that's what you do. And evangelists should follow. So when we follow me and I'll make you fishes of men, it's not trying to get them to come in, but he's bringing them in and planting them in your place and in your heart and in the word so that then you can nurture them. And so that's what I looked in the chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6. And literally, so much of the teaching in all of them, I had a book written. I didn't mention this when I was dealing with, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. One of the great books I wrote, which has not gotten a lot of market, is Repentance and Remission of Past Sins. And when I look back in that, I talked about kingdom ministers, because most of us are positioned to be kingdom ministers now, called to forgiveness and repentance of trespasses. And so what happened that when in writing this book, the Lord began to show me that there is a deeper level of forgiveness that he's calling us to. He said the forgiveness the believer or the end time minister will enter into is far deeper than in the past. To begin with, each will set him or herself to seek the Lord for what debts or trespasses one has on God's books. That's what when we were reading the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive those who are debtors. And so there are many things on God's record in heaven against the minister of God that one knows not, and only through a sincere seeking of the Holy Ghost to uncover these truths will one uncover the web of unforgiveness, much of which is woven into the fabric of our lives. There is much God has to forgive his ministers of, sin that has not been uncovered, and much of which the minister has to forgive others. And so at salvation, God forgave his ministers of the sin of living without Christ, and since that time, uncovered many overt sins. Now the Lord must lead the one he has called to establish a kingdom ministry into the truth of God's forgiveness for things only the Holy Ghost can uncover. That one must be forgiven of much and must forgive much, especially sins of the heart, mind, and spirit, in order for these sins to be forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And, you know, as I shared with my students this weekend, as we were last weekend, I've learned that even with the books that I've written, that's a great truth. It's a great understanding, but it means nothing to you until the Spirit of the Lord whip it into your heart, wrap it around your heart, and make your heart cry out for wanting that. And with all of my books, I said, just read a paragraph, go back and think on the paragraph, then go back and pray the paragraph. This is a great one to pray in our Repentance and Remission Network that we started in Atlanta, Georgia. I really saw that there is such deep-rooted unforgiveness towards people in the church and towards, I've always known that it's against parents and others, that the Lord's word cannot get moved into the level in which it should get moved into because of that sin. And so unforgiveness literally leads the way. Weak and whole, we have saints that don't know how to forgive. I sometimes want to write some that I know are holding deep-rooted unforgiveness toward me to please ask them to forgive me, and sometimes I've done it more than one time and they don't respond. It's easy for us, and three things that I always stop people when I have the opportunity. Don't tell me what someone else did to you or didn't do. You'll say, well, my mother did this. Well, do you really know your mother? Do you know her beyond what you expected her as a mother? Or do you know what she was going through at the time when you were struggling to get to know who you were, and she is struggling maybe just to keep food on the table? Some people say, well, they didn't have this teaching in the church, and so no one taught me this. Oh, I think someone taught you. You just didn't hear it because you wanted to do what you wanted to do. And even if it wasn't in the church, now you're hearing it. Will you obey now? Don't blame what they didn't do, because what they did in the church at that time was what you needed at that time, and you didn't know that you needed this. And so if you had obeyed what they told you to do at that time, now you're ready to obey now because you built up a spirit of obedience and forgiveness, you see. So God is calling us into a higher place with him. He's not allowing us to stay down here with our excuses. As our Pastor Lee always say, we're without excuse. He's not allowing us to stay down here and ask him to come down from the throne where he's sitting and take care of our business and take care of us and help us not to hurt. And, oh, Lord, I got to go home and I got to cry to the Lord because the pastor said something to me that just really hurt my feeling. They had this joke on me this past weekend, and I said, this is the first time in my life, as old as I am, I understood the statement. I've heard people say it so many times, she bust me out, and I couldn't figure out what that was. It wasn't a word in my vocabulary, and I've had it more than one time. And so this past weekend, they said, I bust somebody out, and I said, that's what you mean when you literally pinpoint a truth that they didn't want exposed, so you burst them out. You uncovered them. That's what it is. That's the word. You were uncovered. And so many people will run home, go to their prayer closet, cry to the Lord about something someone did to them, when truly if they look into the Spirit of the living God the way they want to, they may be repenting of even carrying that, because the wound is still there, that they're trying to get God to take away at this moment. Not the wound. They don't see a wound. They just see that person hurt me so badly. Lord, you just have to help me. You have to help me overcome this. And Lord, please do this, do that. No, God has already done all he's going to do. What he wants you to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He wants you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying for the church, and he wants you to listen to him, to hear what he's saying to you. He says, forgive, that the Spirit of the Lord is calling us all to forgive. He's calling us to allow him to come in and tell us what to do. We will do that, and he'll do what we can't do. It is a different walk, saints. It's a different place where you're waiting for this prophetic word that you can't do. You're waiting for God to tell you something that you want him, you want to tell God what to do for you. This is, actually you can fall so much in love with this word that the word then start speaking to you beyond what you even desire. Because I believe once the Lord knows that you want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, you want to know what he wants you to do with it, he will then begin to open it up even the more. And that's what I began to pray, and I'll pray it for you, that the Lord would give you such a hunger for his word, and he'll begin to open up deeper truth of the word that you will never hear the surface word again. You'll never preach the surface word again, that the Lord will have such an anointing on the word of God that you will want more of the word of God. And when you get the more, it'll never satisfy you because you want more of God. And the more you get of his word, the more you want of the word. And the more you want of the word, the more you want of God. And the more you want of God, the more you come in closer and closer so that you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and then listen to what he's saying to you. I want to pray tonight and again, hallelujah. Thou art worthy, God, to receive all praises and honor and all glory. All things were created by you. Without you were nothing made. And we just want to bless your name tonight. We want to honor you tonight, Lord. Your name is wonderful. It is Counselor. It is God with us now. And so, Lord, since your word is Counselor, I ask you by the Spirit of the living God that those that are listening, that you give them a hunger for your word, that they will come out of this place, this broad way, and they'll come to this narrow way, and they will come close. They won't come a little closer, but they will come close, and they will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, because you're saying it loud and clear, but they're so far away in this fog of life, in the fog of all the things that's transpiring and all the requirements around them. Oh, Father, forgive. Oh, Father, forgive. And, Lord, not only do we ask you to forgive, but tonight we want to lift up those that are sick and afflicted. There are those that are saints, Lord, that we know that are battling challenges, oh, God, that the enemy is trying to keep them from coming in closer. But, Lord, we ask you for mercy tonight. We ask you for forgiveness. And most importantly, I ask you to give us all a deeper hunger of your word and for your word. Not a hunger to read it so we could have this knowledge of it, but we need the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and the understanding of Jesus, of knowing who you are and knowing, Lord, have your spiritual understanding. So give us spiritual understanding of the word. Let the word go down in our spirit. Let us meditate on it. Let us think on it. And let the Spirit of the Lord, like in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and it was without void, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the earth, and he shaped it. And then one day God said, let there be light, and light burst forth. Lord, let that Spirit of the Lord move on that word, on the word, as we study the word, move on the word, move on that word, and it began to shape in us, and began to shape in us, and it began to shape in us, and as we're thinking on it, and as we're praying, and then one day the light will come on it, and we'll see this is what that word meant. Lord, let this book of Matthew, as we're going through it, become living flesh to all of us. And we began to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and listen very carefully. And we are so in tune. We're at your feet. We're sitting there. We're waiting to hear what you want us to do with the word. And when you tell us what to do with it and how to live it, Lord, just like you told me about healing, there's so much for healing that we don't know about. We don't know you as a healer. We don't even want to know you as a healer because we can't trust you as a healer. But you said you're trustworthy, and if we would take the time to get to know you as a healer, and so you had me to promise that I will get to know, I'll take the time so that I'll get to know you as a healer. Because there are things that we can't just ask you to give us right away. There are things that we have to allow you to prepare us to receive it and get our hearts ready to receive it. So don't let us walk away from that and thinking we got it, we know it. Bring us back to it, Lord, and let us camp there with you until you finish putting it in us, so that we can live it out on the earth. Forgive us, oh God, for all the knowledge we have that we haven't lived out, and all the knowledge we're trying to get, so that we can learn some more to expound to someone. Lord, let the Holy Spirit settle us with you now, that you, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we are to repent. And after repentance, Lord, that we will follow you, that you will make us fishers of men, and that you will put an axe to the root of the tree. And when you put the axe there, and that tree dies, which is the self that's in us that stands tall, that then the Holy Ghost and fire will come. You'll baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire to burn up the chaff, because after the root is cut, there's some lingering around that will catch fire, that will catch root again, and you'll burn up the chaff, oh God, with unquenchable fire. So we release this word to you tonight, and everyone listening and everyone who listens, turn them around and speak this word clear. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Say to all of us in such a way that we will obey instantly. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive, that the Father in heaven will forgive you. And then you'll call us to forgive others of our debts as we forgive them of debts toward us. You will always tell us that not to worry, but to give no thought to tomorrow. But all those things, Father, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, and then to listen carefully what he's saying to us individually. So we present ourselves and everyone listening and everyone who will listen in the name of Jesus, who's able to make all grace abound, that we can have all sufficiency for all things and every good work. Amen. Well, saints, we are going to be back with you on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. We're going to continue. Maybe the Lord will allow us to get over to chapter 7. Although we're saying we're trying to still meditate on some of these other things, we will do that. But we've finished saying to the Lord, I want that. And we've finished presenting ourselves, positioning ourselves with the Lord, that whatever he tells us to do, we're following so closely. And we know we have to follow so closely that we'll do it. And so we can go on to maybe hopefully get to chapter 7. It's one of the blessed chapters in the book. The Lord gave it to me years ago and told me, I want you to live it out. And so we'll be there hopefully on Sunday evening. I say hopefully because I thought I was going to get there tonight, and I thought I was going to get there last Sunday evening, and I thought I was going to get there before. But the Lord is just staying, keeping me, because he knows that we have to enter into this and walk it out in earth, every one of us in our lives. So we bless you tonight in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We bless you in the name of Jesus, who's able then to make all grace abound towards you, that you can have all sufficiency for all things and every good work. The Lord spoke to me once, and he said we need to have a prophetic night one night, so that he can speak into the hearts of everyone so they can move in a deeper way. And I'm not, in addition to the word here, he'll have a prophetic word for everyone, for people that are listening, so that they will know that God is speaking to them and encouraging them and telling them that they can make it. So, Father, we thank you tonight for all the people that are listening, and we bless them in the name of Jesus, and we bless the people that will listen to this at a later date, so that the Holy Spirit then will carry this message to their heart. We say thank you for listening, and good night.